So, as I said, we're looking at David, a man after God's own heart. Now, David was one of Israel's greatest kings, perhaps the greatest king of all. And he was a shepherd boy, a musician. He was a mighty soldier. He was the conqueror of Goliath. He was a poet, a musician, and a psalm writer, and he was a true worshiper of God. Now, David's name is mentioned more than 1,000 times in the Bible, and it's through David's royal line that Jesus, the Messiah, came. Now, after King Saul had disobeyed the Lord, Samuel told Saul that your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And that man after God's own heart was David. And David's going to be the central character through the rest of our study in 1 Samuel. What does it mean to be a person after God's own heart? It means that you're a person whose life is in harmony with the Lord. That what is important to him is important to you. What burdens him burdens you. And that you have a heart that is sensitive to the Lord. That you want to please him, that you love him. That's what it means to be a person with a heart for God. A person after God's own heart. That you want to obey him, that you desire to follow him and to seek him, and that your heart is completely the Lord's. Now, most people remember David for his greatest achievement and his greatest failure. His greatest achievement, of course, being conquering Goliath, and we're actually going to get that next week in our study. And his greatest failure, unfortunately, was his sin with Bathsheba. Now, we'll see as we go through 1 Samuel that David soared to great heights, and then he fell to great lows. And that's why David is so relatable to us. We can relate to his highs and his lows, and all the difficulties that he had, and the trials that he faced, and the things that he went through, and the struggles that he had. David's life is so relatable, and his life offers hope to us all. His life shows that devotion doesn't mean perfection, and that God loves us in spite of our weaknesses and can do great things through our lives, as he did David. David is a model for us all that God can use us even though we are weak. Now, aren't you thankful for that? I am, because I'm so weak, and I'm thankful that God can still use us. The Bible doesn't whitewash David's life. He made many big mistakes, and he endured devastating troubles. David was also a model in that God can forgive us when we fail. David failed many times. But he always came back to the Lord for forgiveness and repentance. So God can love us through all the Sauls, all the Goliaths, all the Jonathans, Joabs, Abigails, Bathshebas, Absaloms, and Solomons of our lives. Now, last fall, as we began our study in 1 Samuel, we began with the beautiful story of Hannah and her praying for a son, and how God blessed her with Samuel. And then we saw that Israel began demanding a king. They wanted a physical king, just like the other nations around them. They didn't want God to rule them anymore as he had in the past. And it grieved, remember, Samuel's heart so much. But Samuel was anointed as their new king. Saul. And then we saw Saul failing as a king. He was impatient, impulsive. He took matters into his own hands, and he disobeyed the Lord and Samuel. Remember that we studied when he offered up the sacrifice himself, and he didn't wait for Samuel to come. And then he lied to cover his sin, and he put the blame on the people. When Samuel came, he responded, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And yet Saul continued to harden his heart and deteriorate and fell further and further from God in his disobedience. And we're going to see that continue in our studies as we go on through 1 Samuel. But the contrast between Saul and David is that Saul hardened his heart and began to fall further from God. He was impulsive, he was impatient, whereas David was broken over his sin. And he was repentant, and he sincerely sought the Lord's forgiveness. And that's the difference. That's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be in a place where we sorrow over our sin, where we repent, where we ask God to forgive us, and we keep our hearts soft towards him, that we don't harden our hearts, that we don't do our own thing, that we don't make wrong choices and live for ourselves, and we don't obey God. But David loved God, and even though he sinned many times and he failed, he always turned back to the Lord, and he kept his heart close to the Lord. As we look ahead in our study of 1 Samuel, that we will be seeing David anointed as king as a young shepherd boy, and how he valiantly slayed Goliath, how he fled from Saul's attempts to kill him, and how he hid in the wilderness in caves with his men for many years. It was actually about 10 years that David hid in the caves, and where Saul came after him with his men, and many, many, many attempts over and over where he tried to kill David. But David waited for the Lord to raise him up as the king of Israel. Now, next week, we're going to see that he is anointed as king, but yet he doesn't become king for more than 10 years later. God puts his anointing and his calling on him, but he wants to prepare David's heart for that kingship. Now, do you ever feel that you won't make it through a stage in your life? Maybe you're a young mom with babies, and you're up all night, and you feel like you're never, ever going to get a good night's sleep. Maybe you're a caregiver taking care of a loved one that is ill, and it's very trying and very hard, and you feel like you're never going to get through that stage in your life. I know when we had four children, and our youngest was around 2 years old, my husband started having migraine headaches. And of course, he got them every Monday after preaching on Sunday. And it was always his day off, or we were supposed to have a day off together, but he had to be in the room, dark, close the door. I had to try to keep the kids quiet. And, you know, he struggled with these migraines for so many years, but it felt like, you know, that stage was never going to end, or the baby stage was never going to end. But all these stages, they do end. One day you look back and you've gotten through that time. And God is faithful, right? He gives us the strength for each day and each season that we go through. So don't get discouraged. If God has brought you this far, he's not going to let you down. He promises in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a promise that is for us, that God's going to continue. He's going to complete the work that he's done. So David's life was marked by seasons of great peace and prosperity, as well as times of fear and despair. But through all the seasons of his life, He never forgot to have a thankful heart to God. Now, this is one of David's greatest characteristics, is that he had a thankful heart. He wrote in Psalm 104, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to the Lord and bless his name." So it's just such a great thing to do as Christians, no matter what trials or seasons or storms or things that you're going through, to just be thankful to the Lord, to remain thankful for who he is, what he's done in your life, and that he's with you and he's going to give you strength. He's going to carry you through the difficult times. Now, David wrote, there's 150 psalms, but he wrote 75 of those psalms. And if you're ever discouraged or bummed out, I always turn to the psalms because they're so encouraging. So turn to the psalms and look to them for hope and strength. You can be encouraged in the psalms when you're downcast, when you're ill, when you're afraid, when you're worrying, when you face death, when you need guidance, when you need sleep, when you need protection. And you can find God's grace is sufficient in all experiences of life. So you can find a psalm that relates to what you're going through. And it's because David went through so many hard times, deep valleys, struggles, that he was able to write from his heart, and yet he always turns us to the Lord. He always causes us to turn back to him and put our faith and our hope in him. So let's turn to one of David's psalms that he wrote when he was fleeing from his enemies and Saul. Let's look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Excuse me. I was going to have you turn there at the beginning, and I forgot, so sorry about that. Okay, let's look at Psalm 18, verse 1. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies." Now, I don't know if in your Bible, but in my Bible, above Psalm 18, there's a little paragraph, and it says, "To the chief musician, the psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said," so I love that he says, "The Lord is my rock, a place in which to rest, a solid foundation and a support. Christ is a rock of our salvation. He is our foundation." Now, when I was younger or growing up, our family used to, every summer we would go to Wyoming for 2 weeks with our cousins and several other families, and we would stay on a dude ranch outside of Jackson Hole, and it was really a super fun time. We rode horses and went hiking, and we also did river rafting. We had our own little raft, and there was a Hoback River there that ran behind the Dude Ranch, which was a tributary to the Snake River, if you know that area at all. But we used to ride, and it was super fun. But one time when I was 13, we took a raft ride, and it was my dad and myself and my uncle and my cousin. And we were going down the river, and there's a part where it's very high, steep cliffs on the side, and it's the most rapidest part of the river, which was super fun because it's kind of like a roller coaster, you know, when you're on the raft. But we accidentally hit a dead tree and it punctured the raft, and it flipped us over into the water. My uncle and I landed in the front of the raft in the water. My dad and my cousin landed on the back on top, so they were floating along, but my uncle and I were both drowning. We were being pulled under, and it was super petrifying, scary time. I didn't know the Lord, but I cried out to, I go, oh God, I'm too young to die, and praise the Lord, but every time my uncle got a breath, he would pull me up by my ponytail and just get me up to get air, and my dad was trying frantically to get a rock to hold us on, but they were all mossy, but finally he got a hold of a rock and pulled us to the side, and I cried for, I think, days, you know. I want my mom. And then we had to climb this cliff. We're in a canyon, had to climb a cliff, and I slipped and fell back and caught my hair in a bush, and it was just very traumatic. But anyways, to get to the point about the rock, is that years later, I was just graduated from high school. We went to Idaho on a vacation, and I forced myself to go on another river trip. But this one was guided. They had guides and everything, you know. And so because I wanted to get over the fear. You know, when you have something that makes you fearful, it's good to do something. If you fall off a horse, get back on and ride again. But anyways, I went on this river trip, and the very first few minutes, they had a trainee or something, and we got caught on a rock. And the water started gushing in to the raft, and we had to all get on top of the rock and stand there until they got another raft and came and rescued us. And this was a six-day trip, so this was the very beginning. But the rest of the trip was great. But anyways, we stood on this rock, and the turbulent waters were washing all around us. And so that's what the point I want to bring is, that Christ is our rock. He's our strength, and we can stand on him to be our foundation, our help. When everything around us is swirling and twirling and, you know, turbulent, he is our rock. And David goes on to say, he's my fortress. He's my stronghold, a fortified place, a place of protection. If you've ever been in a fortress, you know that there are walls all around. You're safe. He's my deliverer. He sets us free from sin and gives us victory over temptation. And then he's my strength. He gives me strength when I am weak. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So when we're weak, we can rely on the Lord to give us strength. Right? And you know, he wants us to be dependent and relying on him. He doesn't want us to be confident in ourselves. He wants us to rely on him for his strength. And then he is my shield, David says. He protects me from the enemy. God saved and protected, strengthened David when Saul was out to kill him. Many, many, many times the Lord protected David. And so he says, the Lord is my shield. He protects me from the enemy. As David hid in those caves in En-Gedi with his men, and Saul would come many, many times fighting him. But the Lord was building David's character. He was humbling him, and he was equipping him to be the king. He was using these things in his life to prepare him for what he had ahead. And then David goes on to say, he's my high tower, my place of safety, where you can just climb up into that high tower and be safe from everything that's going on below you. So is the Lord all these things to you? Is he your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your strength, your shield, your high tower? David begins this psalm where he says, I will love you, O Lord. And do you love the Lord? Do you really love him and know him? Because that's what being a Christian is all about, is loving Jesus and having a personal relationship with him. Now in Acts 13:36, it says, there's a verse, it says, for David, after he had served his generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. Now, what I want us to see in this verse is that it says that David served his generation by the will of God. God had a purpose and a plan for David. And did you know that he has a purpose for each one of us as well? He has a great purpose for each of us to do, and you have contributions to make that no one else can. And how sad it is to go through life and never know what God's purpose is for you. But what a blessing and how satisfying it is to know you served God's purpose in your life as David did. Now, we can try to run our own lives and say, I want to take the reins. I want to make the decisions. I want to lead my life and do what I want to do. But you're going to miss out on the abundant life that God has for you. Jesus said, I came to give you an abundant life. He has such a blessed life. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And he has a will for you. And all you have to do is get in tune with that and yield to that and say, Lord, have your way. Have your way in my life. I want to fulfill your purpose. I want to do your will, and your life will be so rewarding and so blessed if you do. So as we love, obey, rely on, and are devoted to the Lord with all of our hearts, we too will be a person after God's own heart. Now, isn't that your heart's desire? To love and to please him, and to walk intimately in fellowship with the Lord, to be a woman after God's own heart. I know that's what I want. And there was a commentator that said, I'm going to quote this, he said, David's heart was bent towards God like a flower turns toward the sun. I thought that was so good. So, God, help us to have our hearts that are bent towards God, just like a flower turns toward the sun, and to be women after God's own heart. So let's pray.